Hello and welcome to the Middle East Today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. As world powers are planning more talks over Syria, the situation seems to be more and more blurry. The latest meeting in Geneva seemed to lack executive mechanism as well as true will and force for its implementation. Russia says the United States and its Western allies are already seeking to distort the agreement. And UN Special Envoy Kofi Annan said all meetings have not helped his plan. And while the Syrian opposition outside the country has failed to form a unified political stance, the violence in the country continues. Now, to get more on this issue, I am joined by Dr. Osman Bakash. He is member of head of media office, actually, in the Al-Tahrir party. We're also joined by Mr. Ziad Al-Hafiz. He is from the Arab Nationalist Forum. I want to welcome you both to this show. Let me start with you, Dr. Bakash. Do you think that the Geneva Convention itself was a continuation of the Kofi Annan plan, or just a way to keep this plan alive, at least?
Yes, in a way, it was meant to give him a shot in the arm to keep him alive. But in reality, it came to translate into practical plan the agreement reached by Mr. Obama and the Russian President Putin when they met in Mexico on 18th of June. But at the end of the day, it amounted to nothing. Mere empty words, in effect. As you said, it's lacking. There is no any execution or implementation procedures to be enforced. So when you see the details of it, talk about formation of a transitional government, that they will work to set up a free election, and that they have a 1 year. So it's clear that it's the whole ongoing crisis in Syria, it seems, according to their agenda, to the Russian and American, they're still giving it plenty of time.
Yeah, the issue of a transitional government, was it already found in the Annan plan, or do you think that this is just one way to help it?
It's very ambiguous, because they say, okay, the transition government will be formed by consent, mutual consent of both parties. So we are back to catch 22. The Syrian regime will insist on the opposition to disarm, so no, it won't get anywhere. It's catch 22. It's nothing, it's more of the same. Yes. We are back to square one.
All right, let me ask Dr. Hafiz, do you think that the problem with this plan is that it had no representatives from the Syrian government nor from the Syrian opposition outside of Syria?
Nor also key power players in the region. I mean, the Iranians were left out and the Saudis were left out. So it means that at the same time that it is an imperfect conference, so to speak. I think Dr. Bakash has said at the beginning of his reply answer is that this conference is a translation of an agreement that has taken place between President Obama and President Putin in Mexico. And the purpose of this conference is, at this stage, is to define the ceiling of the whole struggle that is taking place in the region, that it will not go beyond a certain point. And at the same time, as pointed out, it is a shot in the arm to the Annan mission. Whether it will succeed or not is not really the point. This morning on certain TV, the Russian ambassador has really acknowledged that yes, there was no mechanism discussed for the implementation of this plan, and this is going to be the subject of, between quotation marks, discussions. So that's not really the point of the conference. The conference was, as far as I see it, defining the ceiling until the situation ripens or becomes more amenable to a discussion.
Yes.
At this stage, it's not possible. At least on the American side, they cannot, because of their internal domestic situation, are not in a position to provide any agreement. And the Russians do not feel at this stage compelled to give anything to the Americans, especially when during the election period of the Russian presidential elections, the Americans were actively playing against.
Yes, but how about the issue of a transitional government? This is something everyone agreed upon. Do you think that Syria does need some kind of a foreign mandate?
Well, transition government between whom and whom? If one party is not willing to do the to be part of the government, so there is no point. I mean, at least on the opposition side, they said as soon as the conference was over that this is a disaster, this is not what we want, and therefore we shall not be part of it. And therefore, if you want to implement a transition government, one party is not part of it.
Yes, exactly. We're joined now by Mr. Talib Ibrahim. He's joining us from Damascus. He's a political activist. Mr. Ibrahim, how does the Syrian government look at the Geneva meeting? At first, it seemed to be very much encouraging of the stances of Russia, but it did not have a clear stance. Of course, it wasn't represented inside the meeting. Do you think that Syria will end up having some kind of a foreign mandate in order for it to be able to solve its differences?
Of course, it is not secret that there's a real and permanent coordination and cooperation between Syria and between Russia. I think that Geneva agreement, of course, is acceptable from the side of Syrian government. Some details are need to be discussed, but as we said, we are, of course, need to find a political resolution for the crisis in Syria. This is on behalf of Syrian population, and this is on behalf of Syrian leadership, because we are very, very sad to the bloodshed here in Syria, and we want to stop all of these massacres which is taking place here and in other places, and here and there in other places in Syrian territories, anywhere. And the real position of our army is in confrontation with Israeli enemy. It is not in the cities, and it is not in the countries of Syria. So I think, yes, this plan somehow, or Geneva Agreement, is it's acceptable and from the Syrian government, but I think now behind doors there's a kind of debate about how to implement this agreement, how to make it practical and able to be life indeed, and to reach a real political resolution. It's very important as a step to on the road of a political resolution. Some points are not very, very clear, but I think everything should be clarified in the few days.
Yes, what are the concessions that the Syrian government and supporters of the Syrian government are willing to make in order for there to be a solution?
We recognize that there's a real crisis in the country. We recognize the real opposition, and we are separating between real opposition and between militant groups and terrorism. Another issue, we are ready to participate power and treasure and everything with our partners from the opposition, even the members of Syrian opposition, if they are inside Syria or outside Syria, who believe in their country, who do not call for external intervention in Syrian issue. They are our brothers, and they are the same like us. I think we are ready to give them more and more role in the political life of Syria, and we are looking toward an international dialogue inside Syria, which will gather all parties together with no conditions, with no previous conditions between any party to other. And through this dialogue, I think we can find a roadmap, a Syrian roadmap. This is very important to highlight it, a Syrian roadmap made by Syrians themselves and with international cover to find the resolution of this crisis and to have a real transitional period, transitional government, transitional political regime. How do you nominate it? It's not important, but the important is the future of Syria as a state. The unity of the Syrian society is the most important, and how we will pass through this crisis to the transitional period and to a permanent state of democracy and freedom of all the Syrians.
All right, Dr. Bakash, it seems that the Syrian opposition is somewhat skeptical of some kind of a of transitional government, which could include the current government. Why is that? And how did the opposition really look at the Geneva meeting?
Well, the opposition you are referring to is the one outside,
by
the Syrian National Council and so on. Well, at the same time, it was important to note the attitude expressed by the Free Army, the Syrian Free Army, when they said that those gathering in Cairo, they don't represent us. Only us inside, we will settle this dispute or this ongoing crisis. And that's something, for that matter also, that's what Haitham Melih said. He said the situation problem will be resolved by Syrian hands, those who are inside, not those gathering in New York or Paris or outside. So let's not forget that this National Council, they were formed in Turkey to be a catalyzer for the American solution when it is ready, when it ripens. This is, to some extent, similar to what the American did prior to attacking Saddam Hussein in Iraq. They gathered the so-called opposition in London to prepare for the post-Saddam Hussein era. So this is something similar. Those, they are willing to come to Damascus on top of Syrian or American tanks. When I applaud here the statement made by the Free Army inside Syria, saying that those outside don't represent us, we will resolve our own issues internally. And for that matter, for the record, I have to say that our position, Hizb al-Tahrir, we denounce and reject and oppose any and all foreign intervention, especially when it comes from the former colonial powers, both in Europe and America and the Russian. We have our issues, our problems. We have to resolve them on our own. And as well, we are fully aware of the complexity of the issue, the role played by the Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and so on. All of this regime, local regime, they are agents, and they follow the dictate of the foreign powers in Europe and America and elsewhere.
All right. Now, since you mentioned the Cairo meeting, I want to ask you, Dr. Hafez, how do you look at this meeting specifically? It seems that this shows that the opposition is still quite dismantled, that they don't they're saying that they support the Syrian Free Syrian Army. The Free Syrian Army doesn't support them. Where are we going with this opposition?
Well, I think the question has to be put to them, not to me, because I have absolutely no idea what they want to do. And I mean, the confusion that they have shown in their behavior, even going to fist fights and throwing chairs at each other, is not really indicative of a group that knows exactly what it wants. Having said that, there is a basic problem: who represents what, whom in within the opposition. I mean, it seems, for an outside observer, there are several oppositions. You have the Free Syrian Army, which in itself is not a cohesive group, but a series of various armed elements.
Mm-hmm. You have not the
Coordination Committee. You have the Council, the National Council, Syrian National Council overseas, and even within that Syrian National Council, you don't have a homogeneous or unified position. So you have really a completely atomized, so to speak, opposition group, which makes the progress toward a solution, negotiated solution, or a political solution, no matter how you want to call it, a little bit difficult. So far we have one side who knows what it wants, and the other side, you have a division among their total objectives. It's not a political position to say we want to overthrow the regime. If you want to say that, therefore there is no negotiation, and therefore there is no political solution. So there is a contradiction in objectives and the willingness to participate in a political process. And until this is resolved, I'm not sure where we're going anywhere. I think it is contingent upon a certain agreement at the international level and the regional level of how to solve the crisis. We are not yet there.
All right. Now, I want to get your take on what you just heard from Dr. Hafez, and the fact that if you're with the Free Syrian Army, so it seems that this opposition or these groups inside Syria will only get what they need through fighting, through continuous violence. Is that the...
Ultimately, and point number one, it has to be clear that it's up to us to resolve our own problems. When the French or the American or the Russian or whoever outside foreign powers, let's not forget that they are the roots of the problem. They are the cause of the problem. Their intervention today and yesterday and since Sykes-Picot, they are the one who caused these problems, not only in Syria, but across the region. So we have to be loud and clear that this foreign intervention is to be opposed and rejected totally. Now, internally, what in Syria, it's up to us internally for the army. The mission, the task of the Syrian army is to defend the nation. Fine, they shut down the Turkish airplane the other day. They should have also addressed the Israeli attack when Israel attacked Syria a number of times. So the mission of the army is to defend the nation.
Okay, just with this in mind, if you have something else that might keep it in mind, I want to ask Mr. Tal Ibrahim to get his take on what he just heard from Dr. Baqash.
First of all, I agree for some things that the roots of the problem is in the United States and in France and in NATO and in these foreign forces. But the other part, I don't agree. Now, if the government will leave immediately, what will happen? Syria will fall in the great cause, and we may reach a real civil war. The solution is to find a kind of transitional period, which is gathering from some members of this government, other members from the national opposition who don't believe in sectarianism, who don't believe in terrorism, who don't believe in calling for external intervention, and to make a real, what we can say, provision to the future of Syria, to work together as Syrians. And I think the most important part of the resolution in Syria is we are calling all foreign people to raise their hands from Syria, to stop smuggling weapons and money to the militant groups. And we are looking to stop any kind of violence inside Syria. Syrians are well-educated people, and they know how to find resolutions for all the problems which are facing them. The most important thing for others, raise your hands from Syria. Find a solution for your problems very, very far from Syrian territories. Syria is not a battlefield for others, and it is not a hinterland for others.
Yes, is the government willing to sit down with the opposition that is outside Syria, and even the groups that are still fighting the government inside Syria?
Of course, if the Syrian government want to step down and to leave, the Syria, as I said, should be in a real civil war. The great cause will happen in Syria. The others who are outside Syria, majority of them do not know anything about what is happening in Syria. We are suffering every day, every night about what is happening. We are counting the members of killing people from our army, from our security forces, and even from our citizens who are being killed here and there. We are in the battlefield. We know exactly the problem, and we know exactly the resolution. Who are living outside Syria in five-star hotels? They are real mercenary, and they are robbers. They are the top of corruption in the world, and they are talking about the corruption of that government. Of course, our government is not ideal, and it's not perfect, but it's better than them anyhow.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Bakash, of course, the issue that the opposition, of course, is still not unified, and they cannot really form an alternative to the government. The best way would be just to negotiate and have a national dialogue, as long as you have a big portion of Syrians still supporting this government.
Well, you cannot speak of a dialogue at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. You cannot speak of a dialogue when tanks and shells and artilleries and women and children are being killed every day. I mean, If let's agree on the sanctity and sacredness of the blood, this all ongoing bloodshed has to cease now. Then you can talk about something called dialogue.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it seems that from the inside, it's not going anywhere. Dr. Hafez, do you think that we might see the United Nations Security Council as being perhaps the only reference or the only guarantee for any implementation of a solution? The fact that Russia and China continue with their previous stance. Do you think that we might see some kind of a resolution?
At this stage, yes. There is nothing that indicates that there could be a resolution from or emanating from the Security Council. This is contingent upon an understanding between Russia and China on one hand and the United States. At this stage, it's not in the cards. As I said earlier, neither the United States are in a position to enter into that kind of an agreement for many reasons that we cannot discuss here now. It's too beyond the scope of this roundtable. Nor the Russians and the Chinese are ready to give anything to someone who is not in a position to give anything in return. Mm-hmm. So we are in this kind of a flux,
stalemate,
until the situation matures. When this will happen, some people would say it after the presidential elections. Some would say until facts on the ground dictate the conditions. Whatever the reason, it could be a combination of all these things. It's not in the cards to have a solution within the next, let's say, 6 to 8 months.
All right.
We have to wait until 2013 and maybe 2014 to see probably the definition of an outline of a solution.
If I may, Lavrov, the Russian minister, said he met with Clinton in Russia before Geneva, and he said, Lavrov said that in their meeting, Hillary Clinton didn't really push for this plan which mm-hmm. was submitted in Geneva. He said not a word. Clinton, it's clear that the Americans are playing game with us. He said Lavrov exposed that the real American attitude is simply this, all of this
just buying time.
Exactly.
Also, you have to understand one thing. I mean, this conference has been convened at the initiative of the Russians. Why do you want the United States to give them kind of a victory or a moral victory
for Russia,
at this stage, when there is still many issues outstanding between the two powers? So that's why I'm not really confident that you would see anything coming in the near future in terms of a solution. This does not mean that all efforts should be put aside.
Yes.
We should keep on the pressure on both parties in Syria, government and opposition, to come together. We should also put some pressure. Some pressure should be put on Arab governments who were part of the conflicts.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you about that. You have Arab governments like Saudi Arabia and Qatar clearly supporting the Syrian opposition, the Syrian groups inside Syria, and even there are reports of arms smuggling inside there. Do you think that also plays a role? Also, a lack of trust for any kind of future talk. I mean, if it's
lack of trust is an understatement. Yes, the flow of arms, the flow of money, the media campaign is really part of the whole scenario. But these are details between quotation marks until a political decision has been reached at the highest level. We are not there yet.
If I may, let's not forget the chess game. This is a game of nations. When it comes to Russia and America and Chinese and Europe, they bargain. This is bargain. Let's not forget America when in Kosovo, the American, they attack Kosovo. They even attacked the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in 1999.
Yes.
So when it comes to so-called vital American interests or national interests or French or Russian, they will go to war even. So what we have to warn against here, we in Syria, in Lebanon, in this region, we are not a mere bargaining chip for the Russian and the French and the American and the European to negotiate at the expense of our blood and our peace and our harmony here. Enough, all of this foreign intervention has to be stopped and rejected. And anybody, the National Council, anybody who promote this foreign intervention should be rejected and opposed.
Yes, well, we have very little time, just 30 seconds, Dr. Talal Ibrahim. Just how do you look at the future or the next few weeks or so before we really find a solution? What can happen inside Syria?
Of course, the war against terrorism will continue, and there's successful military operations were performed in different parts in Syria. Another issue, I think no real political resolution before American elections, but the most important thing for us as Syrians to sit together and to moot about the future of our country and to prevent any external intervention. Syria above everybody, every person, every party, and every structure in the world. This should be the most important thing in our life.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Talal Ibrahim from Damascus. I also want to thank Mr. Osman Baqash from Tahrir Party joining me in the studio, Dr. Ziad Al-Hafiz also joining me here. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.